Joining us right now in what is now the midst of campaign election season, with the third and fourth forums of the week coming up tomorrow. Chapel Hill Mayor Pam Heminger, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. Enjoying the beautiful weather, but needing some rain. We need some water desperately. We're way behind, and everybody's got crunchy lawns.
It's like nothing but blue skies for the last 2 weeks, which
beautiful.
Is fine until you start needing the rain. But we're going to get it on Sunday,
Yay.
I guess. You know?
Well, it was a beautiful day. It was a beautiful day for Festival. There were so many people out. It was a lot of fun.
Do we have an idea about the attendance? Because it did seem like a lot more than usual.
Yeah, it really did. Yeah. And it was longer, and we had the food trucks off in a certain area and activities for kids. And there were lots of families and all kinds of people. It was fun walking around and seeing people and seeing all the stuff and partaking in some of the things. Mm-hmm. The line for face painting was too long.
I wanted lobster from the food truck, so I feel your pain on the super long lines.
No, it's just great. There's a huge chair you can sit in and take your picture.
Yes, I wanted to do that too.
The lines were
kind of
long.
Yeah, also true. Well, we were, WCHL was hosting the local motion stage, the performance stage the whole time. And ordinarily in previous years, that stage was kind of on the north side of the street and kind of removed from things. And the crowds were fine, but not great. But this year, the performance stage was right in the midst of the food truck. So it was a big crowd all day long, which was spectacular.
It was great. And we had no trouble finding parking when I came down.
So also true.
Give us a try, even though we had a big crowd. So
where
that
did
was
I
really
park?
Nice.
Oh, I've got my secret lot on West Weaver Street in Carrboro that I don't want to tell people about because it's there, it's public, it's available, and there's always plenty of parking there. So.
Well, we have lots of parking available behind the courtyard over
also
there for
Roberson. Yep.
Lots, and there's now a paved pathway to connect you right across to the lot next to 411 West. You can just walk through to Franklin Street. So lots of options for that.
Awesome.
And last night we had the Cycle NC riders. They were stopped over at the Senior Center, and they were talking about how nice weather, that they loved Chapel Hill, that we'd fed them the best food so far.
Nice.
So it's a big shout out to our
Where
Parks and Rec.
Where did they go?
So the food was served, and indoor camping was available at the Seymour Senior Center.
Awesome.
Or you could go over to the Homestead Aquatics Park and swim and do activities there. And then we had the whole bus schedule out for them so they could get back and forth to Franklin Street. So they were having a good time. We stopped by, and like I said, they said the food was the best they'd had yet. They were looking forward for the—they were headed to Nightdale.
Yes.
But that they were enjoying it in Chapel Hill. So that
so
was kind
they
of
left fun. Earlier today, right?
Yes, they left this morning, yeah. They go every day, and it takes 7 days to go across the state from the mountains to the coast.
Someone was here earlier today. I think it was actually someone here at the station. We were talking about this yesterday and said, oh, they biked 67 miles yesterday. And I was like, I think I've done that over the course of my life, cumulative. Maybe. I'm not even 100% sure about that.
Well, we're having a bike forum tomorrow night. Maybe you can come find out about plans for future bikes. And I will tell you, I'm a big fan of these e-bikes. I haven't gotten to ride one yet. I'm going to do that. But we have many citizens who have these e-bikes, the electric bikes that help you pedal up the hills when you need that extra little oomph to get up MLK or Manning Drive.
Yeah. I do think I would be much more likely to bike around town if the name of the town was Chapel Flats.
Oh, stop.
So the e-bikes are right up my alley.
We're on the hill. So you're going to need that e-bike push.
I like the e-bike idea, though. Yeah.
A lot of good things happening this week. Mm-hmm. We're doing a shout-out to Mary Andrews, who does the Read to Me Tailgate series.
Nice.
She is getting the Toyota Family Teacher of the Year Award. She's got a $20,000 grant awarded to expand this program. This is a great program. We worked with her with Food for the Summer. The teachers go into 22 sites during the summer for a week at each site, reading to kids and families. Families show up, and it's basically you're supposed to flip your tailgate down, but we try to do it under pavilions and things. And she's continued on with this even though she has been retired and working towards all this. And it's just what a wonderful, wonderful thing to do for the community and the things that she's done. And we love to hear about all these kinds of things going on in our own community and the people that have the passion to make it happen. So that was really good.
Yep.
We had the State of the Community gathering on Friday. That was really good. The Chamber and the town worked together with the Population Center's data. I got the chance to go on the Chatham County bus tour, and we went into Briar Chapel, and we went into the site for Chatham Park, and we saw the presentation. And it really puts visually got a very good perspective of what the growth they're expecting, 22,000 homes. And I say that, again, 22,000 homes is the size of Chapel Hill.
Yeah.
So we're talking about replicating a population just south of us, and how does that affect us? So that's something we need to start thinking about here in Chapel Hill, about the effects, and we need to have that in our planning strategies and how we partner and collaborate, but how we actually deal with that kind of growth just to our southern boundary.
Yeah. And sort of put that into perspective, 22,000 homes is roughly 40,000 people or so. How big is Pittsburgh now? It's like 5,000
or
so?
Yes, it's like 5,000. The growth they're planning, though, for the whole county is up to 275,000 people. They talked about this particular development group was in Cary, and the land was getting more and more expensive as they moved towards Jordan Lake, and they see Jordan Lake as an amenity, and it is. Jordan Lake is fabulous, but that you can only go so far towards it, so they went across the lake, and that put them into Chatham County, where the land was a little less expensive, and then they have the major Highway 64 going, connecting over back to Cary and Raleigh and Apex. So they span over Highway 64, so up against the lake, all the way over to 15501, and then across 64. It will be tremendous, is all I'm trying to tell you. I will say they were looking at smart growth where they have nexuses. They have five nexus points of commercial with the walkability to housing near there. So it's the newer model of being able to have more mobility with less car. And hopefully they're talking about live, work, and play all in one space too. But there will be opportunity. I mean, I think we'll have people coming to work and play in Chapel Hill if they live down there, and vice versa. People who live in Chapel Hill might be working and playing there. So how does that all interrelate? And then we had breakout sessions and conversations about one of them was downtown. I always find those fascinating, that we need more opportunities in cultural arts and in the broader spectrum of drawing citizens together. Some of the millennials talked about having that place to mingle, hang out, with a cohort large enough to make it worth their while. They know that they can find that in Durham right now. So how do we make that here so that that's an age group section that we don't capture as well here. So what kinds of things? So I'm meeting with some of the people who were in that session that were very, had some great ideas. So I'm bringing them in to meet with them to see what some things we can build on from there.
Awesome.
And then the next session, the downtown part. So that was part of how do we attract and keep good talent here? But the other part was things downtown. And we're really working on a lot of these things downtown. So apparently we haven't been telling our story very well. So we bring people in to talk about that. And we have our economic sustainability meeting this Friday, and it is talking about how we tell our story. The marketing, that research that's been done will be shared. So that meeting's happening on Friday morning as well. This all kind of plays in together, and very excited about how we move forward with that, because we are doing some good things. We know we have a lot more to do, but making sure we get that message out.
And that's got to be difficult to tell the story of development, because I just sort of in my head, I'm thinking of all the people who are really like at the center of downtown development, and they're probably pretty good at telling the story. It's just a matter of getting it out there, and with so many different news outlets and so many different ways that people get information, you've got to get it out to every single one of them. Well, and that's got to be difficult.
It's complicated. I will say it's not difficult. The complicated part is telling it in a way that people receive it.
Yes.
You know, and that's the thing I think we struggle with is as government and just as any big, large organization. How do you tell it in a way that people who are receiving it really resonate? And I watched a video from Go Durham. It was fascinating because it was done in a completely different context, and this video is alive and vibrant, and how do we get a story and message out that shows people that we have a lot of innovation going on here, a lot of creativity, that our value system is about inclusion and respecting each other's rights, and so we're trying to figure out what the story is so that we can start broadcasting in the same way. So we got to have a collective agreement on what the story is.
Right.
And it may be multiple stories. It might not be just one.
Right,
so I'm not
trying
to say there's one thing. But just so we need to work towards that, because we haven't narrowed that down to what either the story is or the multiple stories.
It's going to be really interesting, too. We're speaking with Mayor Pam Heminger. It's going to be really interesting, too, to see what voter turnout is for the November election this year. And I mention that because we've sort of been talking about this for the last couple of days, especially as we've been getting more and more into candidate forum season. But 2017 is a year, especially in Chapel Hill Carrboro, where progressives are really engaged in talking and active about politics, but it's national politics and state-level politics that they're talking about. How engaged are we in local issues? I know a number of, I can think of a couple of instances just off the top of my head where there was a local story or something happened locally that was huge in the local news, and I was always I've been surprised by how few people in Chapel Hill, as engaged a town as we are aware or cognizant or really invested in that local story, as huge as it is.
So. I think we're distracted by the state and national stories.
Especially this year.
I mean,
right?
We really are. All that's gone on nationally and statewide has people really riled up. There's a whole group that Neighbors on Call that get people gathered to go and show up at the state level. Our state legislature is back in session again. This is confusing for people. The DACA statement that came out from the president. There's that fear and anxiety, and people are really focused on those elections as well. Mm-hmm. Their local elections are just as important.
Yes.
But I think people have the feeling that they have to be paying attention because they're just not sure what's coming next.
Yeah.
It's really hard.
And they're not wrong.
No, I agree with
unfortunately.
That.
Unfortunately.
And I'm going to we're keeping Las Vegas in our minds and thoughts. Mm-hmm. I mean, just look at, if you look at the trajectory of all, I mean, this one's the worst. Well, the worst of a long line of them.
Mm-hmm.
We are flying our flag at our orange flag, which is the one we put out there for sensible gun laws. I don't know if you watched the interview with Kathy Giffords, but oh my goodness. Just talking about that, and our federal government is considering making getting silencers easier. I mean, it makes no sense. So I think this is what you're seeing. People have fears, concerns, anxieties. You feel like you have to pay attention at every stop, and you just don't know what's coming at you next, and it's hard. So it's really scary, but we work really hard here at home to be a welcoming and inclusive environment. We never ask someone's immigration status. We want people to feel welcome here. We want people to feel safe here, and we try really, really hard to make that in our actions, make that aspiration a truth.
Yeah. Getting back to Las Vegas really quick, I know you were mentioning before we went on the air that people were asking what they can do locally, and one of the answers, even though they've got a sufficient supply in Las Vegas, is to give blood.
Right. That's what the mayors are asking for. So I get the benefit of these mayor organizations, and, you know, for Houston and for Puerto Rico, they're asking for donations of cash because it's too hard to sort the goods out and to get them where they need to go. And they have safe, reputable websites out there for that. American Red Cross is always a safe site to go to as well. For Las Vegas, though, they want people's prayers and thoughts, but they also want to inspire people to give blood. They they needed a lot of blood to help with these almost 600 injuries and 59 deaths.
Yep.
They need blood. So this is an inspiration for people to go out there and show your support for Las Vegas. They're asking for people to donate blood because blood is always needed. And if they have supplies, they can share with each other, and it makes it a little easier.
Yeah.
Another wonderful thing going on that starts with an event this evening is the Refugee Art Exhibit at the Friday Center.
Yes.
I've been over to see most of it. It's just empowering. The stories, the photographs, it's free. It's open. It's running for about a month. You can get online and check that out and see what the times are to go over. It's an amazing, you will get a lot out of it. And these are refugees from our community.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what's inspiring. And it was really good. There'll be some discussions and lectures, and they're encouraging anyone to come by. So I think that's really good. On Monday, there's going to be a public input meeting on our inclusive playground that we're experimenting with for Cedar Falls Park. Mm-hmm. We've seen some good examples from other communities. And this inclusive playground project is the thing we use for our third graders who come to do field trips with the town. We present this project, and we have the kids sit and act as council members and as the manager and the clerk, and then we have people ask questions, and then we have them vote on this, and the kids have been overwhelmingly supportive of
our inclusive playground. What constitutes an inclusive playground?
A playground that's available for all children, no matter what their abilities are. Mm-hmm. Mostly you're looking at children who are in wheelchairs or have difficulty in climbing on things, so there's things more at ground level and that you can get a wheelchair through, or if you're on crutches, or if you have other disabilities. That there's some great examples that are stimulating and entertaining. Not every child can climb up a ladder to go down a slide.
Yep.
It's sort of the basic premise. It expands a lot more from there. And to make it welcoming and to have it actually interface with the other regular parts of the playground so kids interact together.
Mm-hmm.
So it's good. And then the surface, the fall surface, is better So there's just all these dynamics that go into it, and we've seen some great examples in other communities that we have slides. So we're looking for public input because we want to have playgrounds that include everyone. So
awesome.
That's on there. And we have a work session tonight on affordable housing. I'm very excited about this one as we talk about our strategic plan for moving forward mm-hmm. and what the goals are. This community cares deeply about affordable housing, and we need a plan to get to where we need to go, but where is it we want to go? And
mm-hmm.
then the manager and the staff can work about how we get there, and then we can figure out what it would cost to do that. And so that we have some real data to work from. Also, on top of this, I was excited on the forum on affordable housing on Monday night put on by Chalt. Was very interesting. I learned a lot about tiny houses. I didn't know, I knew what they were, but it was fun to hear. And people were like, oh, you should watch HTDB, whatever. I don't get to watch TV, folks. I'm sorry. I'm too, that's not in my plan usually. It's hard.
HGTV is great. You just put it on in the background and then do your thing and
while
watch
I'm doing
it.
All yeah. the emails. Yeah.
While you're doing
well,
all the emails,
yeah.
I think
you'd rather have me more focused on doing emails and response and the reading I need to do.
What
but
is this
great.
Response so, I got sorry. From the mayor? It's yeah. like it starts out right and then she goes on about tiny houses
there
for no
you go,
reason.
See.
Yeah.
So there's going to be a dedication of two tiny homes over in the Northside neighborhood on,
okay.
I think it's Friday. It's either this Friday or no, I'm sorry. I don't have it right in front of me. I was very excited to hear, and I brought some groups in to come talk to me next month because our staff's pulling together what ordinances we have to support or not support this so that we can make motions because tiny houses are another avenue for some affordable housing. And I'm very excited to see one. I haven't actually been in one. I'm excited. I know that we have some in our community, and I think this is a real opportunity to learn how this could be effective in Chapel Hill because we passed our accessory dwelling unit ordinance mm-hmm. to allow buildings of up to 750 square feet in your yard if it works, and there's all these ratios, it gets a little complicated. But is there an opportunity to have tiny houses be that? And so if that's an option, then that might be a really good option for us. So let's explore it. And I just love when these creative ideas come forward.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
townofchapelhill.org is the town's website. Go there and find out more. We've got, if you're a Chapel Hill voter, don't forget Election Day is coming up in about a month. Early voting starting on October 19th, which is like 2 weeks away.
Well, so it doesn't start in our community on the 19th.
Oh, that's
it
right.
It starts
Hillsboro.
In our community. You can have to go to Hillsboro.
Yeah.
It starts in our community.
But you can vote in Hillsboro.
You can always vote
yeah,
in Hillsboro
yeah, yeah.
at the
yep.
Board of Elections. It's going to
yep.
start on Monday the 23rd
yep.
here at the three sites in Chapel Hill. The Chapel Cross will not be open one of the Saturdays due to a football game.
Yep.
So other than that, everything's going to be open, and that's on the website too.
But if you do want to get in on early voting, October 19th, just drive up to Hillsboro and you can vote there. So that's coming up in a couple of weeks. Candidate forum tomorrow, another one at 7 p.m. at the Varsity Theater. So everyone's welcome to get in on that. And there's, what, 136 other candidate forums between now and the election,
I think
something
yeah,
like
around
that.
Yeah. And don't
We've
forget the
ours
surveys.
Coming up next,
we got the surveys.
Yes, yep. And the surveys and the Orange Politics one that's online as well.
That
or
was
that will
that
be.
Was that, Sunday.
Was, that was Sunday.
That was
but
Sunday.
You can get online and
yes,
read
you can
it
go
now.
See that. Yep. Yes,
so
yes.
anyone can read that. So a lot of ways to get information about the candidates, but do it and get out for early voting, get out to vote. Local elections are extremely important.
Thank
Mayor Heminger, thank you so much.
Good to see you.